107.
Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Test Talks, a podcast dedicated to all things test automation related. I'm your host, Joe, from joecolantonio.com. Today, we're going to be talking all about stress-free automated visual validation testing with Adam Carmi of Apply Tools. But first, let's hear it for our awesome sponsor, Sauce Labs. Today's episode is sponsored by Sauce Labs. Sauce Labs makes test automation awesome. Sauce's cloud-based Selenium Grid helps developers test web and mobile apps across more than 400 browser and OS platforms. Sauce also supports Appium and popular JavaScript unit testing frameworks and integrates with all the top programming languages, test frameworks, and CI systems. With built-in video recording, debugging tools, and secure tunneling for firewall testing, Sauce helps you ship better software faster. Sign up at saucelabs.com with promo code TESTTALKS14 and get 20 hours of automated testing for free. So we all know that test automation is difficult, but it's even harder if you need to do any sort of visual validation in your test scripts. So many times it's easier and more reliable to make visual validation type test manual test. So we end up having a bunch of tests that have to be manual just because the effort to make a visual validation test reliable sometimes outweighs the amount of time it takes just to make it a manual test. So how do we solve this pixel predicament? And that's when I came across this tool from Apply Tools that specializes in visual validation testing. So I was really excited to have a chance to speak with Adam, who's a founder of Apply Tools. He's the guy that actually started Apply Tools by developing this algorithm and then turning it into a business. Adam really knows visual testing. And what's really cool about it is it's a classic example of having a problem and then creating a solution for it. Adam himself was facing issues with doing visual testing, with testing not being reliable and going to all the different vendors and finding that there was not a tool that was able to handle the type of visual validations that he wanted to do. So what did he do? He went and created his own tool, his own algorithm to do this. So I think that's really cool. And I think you're going to dig this interview. So check it out. Hey, Adam, welcome to Test Talks.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Before we get started, could you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
I'm a co-founder and VP R&D at Apply Tools. We are a company that provides visual test automation cloud service. Before that, I was a VP R&D at SafeEnd. It's an information security company that did the data leakage prevention software. And before that, I was a research engineer at IBM Research and a software architect at Intel. And I have a bachelor's and master's degree in computer science from the Technion, which is the Israeli Institute of Technology. And during my master's degree, I also had a very interesting internship at Microsoft Research that was like 10 years ago, but still, it was a lot of fun. I started programming when I was 8 years old, and it's still one of the things that I love doing most. So actually, I consider myself very fortunate to be making a living of doing something that we'll probably do as a hobby otherwise.
Awesome. So you're a co-founder. Why did you find Apply Tools? What was the reason for that?
So basically, when I was VP R&D at SafeEnd, we developed a very complicated piece of software. We had to protect data leakage from endpoint, like laptops and desktops and mobile devices. And so we had written a lot of device drivers and basically written a lot of... It was a very big testing challenge for us. We also had a very elaborate management console with hundreds of screens and that we had to develop and maintain. This management console was also translated to several languages and OEM'd to several different brands. And so actually doing tests for the system, both the drivers and the agents that enforce the security and the management console, was very, very difficult. And as VP of R&D, one of your most important responsibilities, at least as I see it, is just to monitor and keep an eye on the development process and find bottlenecks and make them go away. And we used to have like regular retrospectives to find out where were our weak spots. And the thing that came up constantly is that actually it was the manual testing part of it. So we had like 20 or 30 manual testers working on the application. And it took them like a week to finish a regression cycle just on a management console. And still with all of that labor, we would still have like UI bugs at the end of the release. And that would drive me nuts. And I just had to find a way to solve this issue once and for all. And of course, year by year, I met with all the large vendors, with HP and Microsoft and IBM. And they came and they demoed their product. And I asked them, can you solve this problem? And they never could. And the tools didn't fit. And because I like programming and I always programmed and did stuff on the side for just for fun, I decided to just try and do something myself. And I kind of worked like nights and weekends on that for almost a year, I guess. And it actually started to show good results. And after this company, when Safen was acquired, I decided to start my own business based on my accomplishments at that point. And that's how the company started, not formally, but later on, a few partners joined me, and here we are.
Awesome. Now, I actually saw a live demo for my company yesterday. We're trying to get a proof of concept going. And the algorithm, I don't know if you wrote that algorithm, but it's pretty sweet. It seems to really get rid of some false positive that you usually have with image-based testing. So
yep.
I want to get into that a little bit later, but at a high level, what is Aply Tools?
Aply Tools, what it allows you to do is to actually find, automatically detect all the visual bugs, actually to validate the visual correctness of your application. When we're talking about visual testing, so basically it's a quality assurance activity that is aimed to verify that your UI appears correctly to users. Many people confuse that with the traditional functional testing tools like Selenium and others that help you to validate the functionality of application through the UI. When we're talking about visual testing, then we want to make sure that actually the UI itself looks right to the user, that each UI element appears in the right color, shape, position, and size, that it doesn't hide or overlap any other UI element. And that's exactly what Aply Tools is doing. And besides the fact that it allows you to automatically find these visual defects, it also has a lot of unique features which actually allow you to do this kind of testing at a very large scale. So we have customers today that are running thousands of visual tests every day. Really high scale stuff, and our product allows them to do that.
Awesome. So that's a great point. Yeah, this product is not meant to replace Selenium or UFT. In fact, it almost enhances them so that you can use the right tool for the right job, basically, is how I see it.
Yeah, you're right. So right at the very beginning, we had the dilemma of whether we want to provide an end-to-end solution or just focus on what is missing today in order to augment the existing tools. And the answer was very clear that actually there are very good tools today that allow you to simulate user actions, to click buttons and to enter keystrokes and to do stuff like that. So it was quite useless to develop yet another tool that does exactly the same. And there is the other issue that if people have already invested in one of these tools, it is very unlikely that they would just throw it away and take another tool to use. So on the other hand, what we did have, and this is our core specialty and uniqueness, is our ability to do this visual validation in a very robust way that can scale. So it made a lot of sense just to enhance and focus on this unique capability and just allow it to be connected with any of the other frameworks and even just work with plain images, even if you don't have any test automation framework, or even if you have your own thing that you've built at home, you could still have a plugin that fits into your whatever programming language that you're using and just add the visual validation inside your framework.
Awesome. So what tools does it support? I know Selenium and UFT, but does it basically, because it's an API, pretty much anything can support it as long as you can import an API or something like that?
Yes. So to start with, the solution is a cloud service. By the way, it's also possible to install it on-premise, but basically it's a server with a REST API. So as long as you can do HTTP and upload images, you're good to go. But because we don't want to make life hard for the people using the for our users, so we did write SDKs in most of the programming languages, the common ones, that allow you at first just to take images and upload them for visual validation. So we don't care where these images came from and how you got them. They could be from a mobile device, from a desktop application, from a web browser, or even if it's an image taken from Photoshop, right? We don't care where the image came from and just upload it for visual validation. But beyond that, for the leading test frameworks that the majority of people are using, like Selenium and QTP, UFT, and Coded UI, and others, we've written more sophisticated SDKs that actually hook into your test and make it abstract the grabbing of images, and you don't have to deal with it. And they also provide you with a lot of other benefits, like, for instance, with Selenium, we can automatically scroll the image and stitch it, so you get like screenshots of the entire page, even when you're using Chrome, which doesn't support that. Or you can just check an inner frame and it will scroll and stitch it for you. It does a lot of nice tricks with waiting for web pages to stabilize. So for example, if you have a page that could take a long time to stabilize and you're, of course, waiting for pages to load is a big problem in test automation in general. But when you're using visual test automation tool, then you can, what really helps is the fact that you already have a baseline image that tells you when the page is ready. So basically, the SDK tries constantly to take screenshots and compare them. If the page was ready after 1 second, then that's the point where the test will continue. But if it took it 20 seconds, it will wait at 20 seconds and then come to the conclusions that the page is stabilized and is ready. And of course, you can adjust timeout thing to whatever fits your needs.
Awesome. Now, I think that's an excellent feature. And I'm just thinking out loud now because we have tests and sometimes our developers will just run against Chrome and Firefox. But our application only supports IE officially. So when we go to CI, we run against IE. And what tends to happen is the tests stop failing because they're not using the correct weights to wait to make sure that a field is visible before they enter data in it. And because Chrome and Firefox generally render quicker than IE, we have all these issues. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is we could use Apply tools within our existing Selenium test. And if we wanted to, we could just use it almost as a synchronization point to ensure that before we even continue, even if we're developing against Chrome and Firefox, because it's an image-based test, when we run against IE, we can reuse the same script and it will use a visual indicator to know whether or not that page is ready for input. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. And you don't have to do anything special inside your test. All you need to do is just place a single call to do a visual validation point, and this automatically, the SDK takes care of the synchronization for you. You don't have to do any change with that. And again, it's not like an explicit wait where you always wait for the entire timeout. If it's ready within a second, then that's what it will take.
Excellent. Yeah, that's a good point. Because like you said, if it took 1 second for your page to load, it'll continue rather than wait for a hard 20 seconds. It waits.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. So how easy is it to use it again? Like within Selenium, there's an API key I thought I saw. And then once you have that API key, it's just a simple call, set eyes or something, dot checkpoint almost. Is that how easy it is to
do? Yeah. So basically what you do in the context of Selenium, then we provide you with an SDK with a class. The SDK consists of a single class that is called eyes. And what you do at the beginning of the test, you call eyes.open and you provide the name for the test. And wherever you want to validate the correctness of the UI, you call eyes check window, okay, which creates a validation point, or you can call check region and provide a Selenium selector, the by thing, just to focus it on a specific region. And you call a bunch of eyes check windows, and at the end of the test, you call eyes close, at which point, if there was a visual difference detected, then eyes close would actually throw an exception, which will fail your test. And this exception will indicate the nature of the test, will also include a URL where you can see a full report of the test with a nice playback feature that we can talk about later. If you have any way of like gathering test results, like using a CI server or some reporting mechanism that you use, then it would naturally fit in there because the exception that will be logged in your framework will include the details of the test and where you can jump into our dashboard to see what happened. So it's a very seamless integration into whatever system that you're using to collect test results.
Awesome. So basically the images are stored within the cloud, and say you had a product owner or a manager, you can just send them the URL and they could then view what the results were basically of the test run if they wanted to.
Exactly. So a nice thing about that, and it's not, this is like a side effect that we found. It's not directly related to visual testing, but the fact that you have a server where anyone that has, of course, the right permissions can go in and just look at playbacks of tests that include the visual checkpoints as well as all the clicks and keystrokes played against them, overlaid against them, is really an amazing collaboration tool. And it allows stakeholders that usually don't have access to code and don't understand code, like project managers and maybe product managers, to have a place where they can, on a daily basis, see the UI of their application, look at the changes, see what changed, and just give immediate feedback to developers. Okay, so they don't have to wait for the sprint to end to have like a presentation of the changes. They don't have access to the latest build of the application under test. They just have a web API to go in and look at the test and see the differences that were found and just see what happens on an hourly basis, depends how frequently the tests are running. And customers really love that. And actually, we get a lot of requests to actually augment this reporting mechanism and even allow Selenium tests and other tests that are not even visual to be placed inside this flow. Okay, so they could add more artifacts into the report and just use it even just for plain tests that has nothing to do with visual tests, because it becomes like this collaboration hub in the organization.
Oh, that sounds interesting. I'm just thinking of it almost as visual documentation, where if you had a new team member, you can almost say, hey, view these scripts and you'll get an idea for the flow of our application and how to perform some basic functionality. You know, I've used other tools before, like Eggplant, and even UFT has something called Insight, which is image-based testing. Yeah. How is Apply Tools different than these types of tools?
Okay, so it's different in many, many ways. The first of which is that basically, you didn't mention Siculi, by the way, which actually...
I love Siculi.
Yeah, it's the same genre of tools, right?
Yep.
So basically, these tools were designed and evolved to solve a different problem than visual validation. These tools were designed to allow you to click a button or enter text or validate some output that you cannot otherwise do by writing code. So originally it was maybe because there's a new technology, like when mobile first came out and no tool supported the UI technology to automate it. So it's a very simple solution just to use images, find them on the screen in order to click them. There's a big difference between finding a button and clicking it than actually validating that a full application page looks right. Okay, there's a very big difference both on the image processing technology that is needed and also on the flow that you are using the tool. So just let me expand on this a bit. So
sure.
Basically, the majority of these tools, let's say that your task is to find a button and click it. So you need to capture the image of the button, right? And because UI does not render exactly the same all the time, which is a huge problem in general to figure out when you want to build a visual testing tool, then perhaps you can actually say that it has to be like maybe 80% accurate, specify a threshold that would allow you to ignore these differences and still find the button, right? But it's no good to validate something with 80% threshold. I mean, what about the 20% that are not okay? So it doesn't work both ways.
Yep.
Another difference, but I mean, for the sake of automating stuff, it's good enough. And so also, I know that there has been some recent work that improved it slightly, but these tools also didn't really do anything innovative in terms of image processing technology. So they basically took existing building blocks that are textbooks algorithms for image processing and just exposed them in the UI and let people just choose, pick and choose from them how they want to match stuff because of these differences that I just described. So you have this guy trying to automate his script and suddenly he's being asked whether he wants a Sobel edge detector or a Kenny edge detector. And of course, he has no idea what that means, but he still needs to choose it. So eventually, he just tries whatever works at the end, and that's what he uses because he has no understanding of what it really means. He has no understanding of what the threshold means or what all these different image processing configurations, they mean nothing. So eventually you get very flaky tests because people don't understand what they're doing. But the problem is even worse in the sense that none of these algorithms and image processing techniques really are suitable for actually solving the problem. They are general purpose algorithms and they are not really good to prevent these false positives and misses. And that's a huge difference because most of the work that we do in AppliTools is not just building a nice application that you can use to run your test. The majority of work lies into years of research and development into these image processing algorithms. Actually, it's an entire image processing stack that was written with the sole purpose of being able to compare images that were rendered by a graphics card, by a computer. And just to clarify, for those that maybe learned the image processing at school or at the university, then the first step of every textbook's algorithm is just to clear out noise, just to get rid of the tiny particles that are not of interest. So if I have an image with a tree and a person, I don't really care about the small pixels that are on the leaves of the tree. I want to see like a blob that is the tree, a blob that is the person, and take it from there. But when you're talking about a computer-generated image, every pixel is there for a reason. You can have a line that is one pixel wide. You should never ignore that line. And if you can have text that is only 6 pixels high, and a human can read it, and it's a tiny thing. So you can actually do noise reduction, and this just about cancels every algorithm that you can think of to use out of any given library today. Okay, so you have to build it from scratch and take a different approach to dealing with that. And that's what we did at AppliTools. This is like the first thing that is important, the image processing technology. And then there is the flow, the way that you collect the baseline images. So for instance, with Siculi and the other tools, if I had like, I've collected 1,000 images and now the application changed, I have to go and collect them again. Okay, I have to manually go and collect them again. And what happens if I have like I want to run my application on 10 different execution environments? These could be different web browsers or mobile devices or different screen resolutions or whatever. Then I have to take duplicates of these images, and it's really a very terrible experience. Whereas with a visual test automation tool, declaring validation point, it automatically performs the capture, and every new run automatically recaptures all the images, and it's very easy to update the baseline for subsequent runs. And of course, the huge difference with automated maintenance is the fact that in most cases, changes to the UI are not local. So, for instance, the extreme example is a web page where you, it's a website where you actually update the header of the website. So when you do this update, it actually affects every image of the, every web page of that website on every given execution environment. It could be hundreds or thousands of images. What AppliTools provides is a way for you to do automated maintenance. It is sufficient to approve a change at one of the occurrences, and the system is smart enough to look at all the different occurrences of the change, even in different images that are not even related, but still understand that it's the same change and approve it for you. So it saves a lot of time maintaining the baselines. And that's what makes it possible to do large-scale visual validation rather than play all day with cropping images and defining image processing configurations that you don't really understand.
But because this is a podcast, it might be hard for people to visualize this, but it is a pretty sweet tool. And so you did do a webinar with Sauce Labs recently, and I'll have that in the show notes, where you actually show some of these examples. The algorithm is able to recognize, you know, when it's a real issue and when it's not. And you can also set it to different modes, like being completely strict, or I don't know all the modes, but it seems like you could adjust that level to what the tolerance is of what you want. But you're not adjusting levels, you're just adjusting like a setting.
Yeah, so basically there are two important match levels. So there are no configurations, no percentages. You don't have to choose anything that has anything to do with image processing. The algorithms are completely adaptive. But you can choose between two ways to do comparison. The first is strict, which, as the name implies, is a very strict image matching algorithm. What strict does is it actually can find minute differences, such as a plus symbol changing into a minus symbol or a comma changing into a period on a huge web page. But on the other hand, it would completely ignore any change, even a massive change, that is invisible to the human eye, or we as humans would not consider as a bug. So, for example, one of the very frequent things that happen is that if I have a web page with a table in it, it is possible that one of the columns would be just one pixel wider, even on the same machine, on the same web browser. And when that happens, the rest of the columns just get shifted one pixel to the side. So this could result with a massive change pixel-wise, because all these pixels just shifted. But then again, as humans, we don't see it. And even if I would prove to you that it has moved, you won't care about it because no one can see it. It's not a bug. So strict can ignore these differences. And also, it was written from scratch to deal with all the rendering differences that happen when you actually render stuff through a computer program, maybe on the same machine or maybe on different hardware and configurations. Stuff like anti-aliasing, moving content on the page, image scaling that actually reduces the size of the image in order to fit it into a certain size, and on different graphics cards that the pixels will be different, although we cannot see it as humans. And there are many other, I mean, it's difficult without showing like visual examples of that, but this is something that strict matching excels at. And you can also, on the baselines, interactively draw regions that should be ignored. So if you have like ads or dates and times or usernames or whatever that is dynamic, you can just mark it very easily to be ignored. If there are things that are moving around, like if you have like something that is animated, or an element that is aligned to another element that is dynamic, you don't care about the other element, but whenever it changes, it moves the element that you care about, then you can mark it as a floating region, and you can identify it as well. And that's what strict does. So many customers do like regression tests with strict mode, and then they can identify like typos or CSS differences that messed up stuff and colors changing and all of that. The other very important match level is layout, which actually is the match level that for the first time allows you to deal with highly dynamic pages. So you can just look at the news feed and just use a baseline and just compare images from that news feed that could be completely dynamic, but still, as long as the layout is consistent between the baseline and the image that you are validating, it would not highlight that as a failure. And similarly, it allows you to do cross-device and cross-browser validation. So you could have a baseline that was taken in Firefox because you just tested Firefox with strict and you know that it looks exactly, there's no visual regression on Firefox. And you can use the same baseline to check Internet Explorer and Chrome and all the other browsers as well. and just make sure that the layout there did not change. Because as you know, different browsers, they render the UI a bit differently, right? Different text sizes and locations and their style differences, etc. But again, the layout should be the same, even if the data is dynamic. And this opens up like a huge variety of opportunities here to do a lot of coverage with very, very little maintenance, because you don't have to keep many baselines and maintain them.
It's a good point. The layout feature is also pretty sweet. And in your demo, you showed Yahoo on one day, and then you show it on a different day, and you show how the tool is able still to pick up the layout and be able to ignore all the changing images. So it's exactly. It's pretty dynamic where it's able to pick that up. And another point I think is really important is, in the past when I've done image-based testing, say, you know, to click on buttons and such, I'd always have to, just for reliability, I would always try to run that test on the same machine where I developed it on, just because anytime I even try running it on a different machine, a slightly different OS, a different flavor, it'll fail. And Apply Tools allows you to get around that, where even in your demo, you showed how just running it on a different OS, how the rendering was slightly different, and it didn't fail. So it saves you all these false positives, and that will kill an automation project if you have all these false positives and people start losing confidence in your test. So this algorithm is really sophisticated. I just want to point that out, that there's a place for SQLy and these other things when you're automating like a click or something. But when you do an actual visualization testing, for example, I work for a medical app and we have to check x-rays. You want a tool like that's Apply Tools that's able to really, really tell you whether or not that's a true image that you're seeing, if it's correct or not.
First of all, I completely agree. And there are other advantages to this type of testing. So that are less obvious, let's say. So of course, the obvious advantage is the fact that you can do visual validation and actually reliably automate and at large scale automate stuff that otherwise you had to test manually. The second advantage is that each validation, because the algorithms are so sophisticated and are capable of dealing with all these nuances of rendering, then you can actually do full page validation. So you have like a single line in your code that does visual validation that captures an entire page, mobile or web, that can have hundreds of UI elements in them, thereby saving you the need to write like hundreds of lines of equivalent validation code. But more than that, if you look at traditional functional testing, you only test what you assert, right? If you don't write the assert, nothing would be tested. Yep. Of course, if something would go wrong with the page completely and you try to click a button that doesn't exist, the page would fail. But when you're doing validation, writing the validation code, if you don't assert it, it doesn't get tested. So basically, even when you automate stuff, you only cover the expected scenarios. You don't cover the unexpected ones. When you do full page validations, you protect yourself against the unexpected scenarios. And also because, let's say that when you take the entire page, even if something changed elsewhere outside the main functionality of that page, like maybe the logo is missing, maybe there is some output computation that you would otherwise not check, but the fact that you actually look at the entire screen, if something goes wrong there, if there is a regression, it would pop up. And because of the fact that the minute that something changed in the application, there is a new feature, and the next time you run the test, it would fail because it would identify the change. It only takes a click of a button for you to accept this new image, and then you have just covered the new feature. So some of our customers call it that they stopped doing regression testing and now they're doing progression testing, because actually they keep up immediately with the development and introduction of new features. They no longer have to deliberate whether to cover a certain feature in automated tests or not, and then put it in the backlog and wait some time until they have the time to edit. So there is really no gap between the introduction of a new feature to the time that it's covered, at least at the surface level, which is actually the most important interface if you're interacting with humans, right? So that's like a huge advantage to doing this type of validation as well.
Now, that's a huge point, because a lot of times a manager will go, well, how come your test didn't pick up this bug? And it's, well, it only works on what you tell it to assert, what to check for. It doesn't check for everything, like you said. So you know, another point is my manager would always say, well, I want to have more assertions, and it kind of adds too much static to our tests and too much code, because you have to assert every single thing that may not be specific to what you're testing. But what you're saying is this automatically, it's real visual. So it can pick up these differences without you telling it that it has to check all these different places or regions. So that's a big time saver, and it gives you the confidence in knowing that if some functionality did change and it's not specific to your test, but it may impact it in another way that you weren't aware of, your assertions aren't going to pick that up. But if you have another test that does the visual piece, it would pick that up.
Exactly. And another way to look at it is just to think about, actually, doing test automation is difficult in the general sense.
Right.
But if you look at what's difficult there, it's not the Selenium part. Like the simulation part is usually very easy.
Yep.
Because let's think of like a basic scenario. So let's say I have a web page. The first simulation step is that I navigate to the first URL, right? It's one line of code. Then I have to write a lot of code to validate everything that's on that page, right? And then when I'm done, I want to move into a different page. So I click a button and I'm there. Then I have to write a lot of assertion code to validate that it's there. So basically, writing the simulation stuff is very easy. It doesn't take a lot of time. You can write page objects and abstract it very nicely to ease maintenance. Anyway, this stuff rarely changes. I mean, the basic flows rarely change in the application. On the other hand, validating the logic is what takes you a huge amount of time. You have to build all these frameworks to make it maintainable. And you always depend on quality of the tester as well to make sure that he did test it right and he did it in a good way and the software engineering side of it. So that's like maybe 90% of the time that takes to write a test and maintain it, all this logic and validation. And this is exactly what every single line of check window call does for you. And also gets it into a report that is very nice and visual and allows you to update it without writing any code, just accepting new images. So I'm not saying that it is like 100% replacement to validation code. In some cases, you want to validate stuff that are not visible in the UI. You want to go deeper, look at the database, go to another service or check something. It doesn't answer, it's not the answer to everything, but at least every piece of functionality which output is exposed through the UI, you can validate that way in a very effective way.
You do have a pricing on your website, and one of the options is free. So say someone wanted to just download this and try a real simple test. How would they go about doing that?
Yeah, so basically, it's fairly easy to get started. So first of all, there is, once you just create a free account, you don't have to put in a credit card or anything. And once you do that, you're redirected to a getting started page. There you can choose between two options. Either you want to write code or you want to do like a manual test. Okay, and if you choose to do a manual test, you get instructions of how to download our Chrome extension. And then there, with this extension, you can just browse the web and just click a button to form a visual validation point for the page that you are now viewing. Okay, or you can just click another button that actually crawls your entire website and creates a test with all the pages in it, which is a great way to do visual validation without writing codes if your application is not too interactive in the sense that you need to input a lot of data to get to the next pages. And if you want to write code, then you just need to choose the framework that you're interested in. Then you choose the programming language that you prefer to work with. So for instance, the framework would be Selenium and the language would be Java or JavaScript or .NET or whatever, C#. And then the third step is that it gives you instructions of how to download the SDK. So basically it would be like a Maven dependency that you need to put in your project or a NuGet package that you need to add to your Visual Studio project. And the first step is just to copy paste the test that you can run. It's as easy as that. And actually, if you have a Selenium test already, then it would take you like 10 minutes to turn it into a visual test. It's very, very easy and simple to do that.
Awesome. Now, I forgot to ask a really basic question. Does AppliTools only work with browser-based applications?
No, not at all. So as I mentioned, the technology deals with images. So we don't care where the image came from. it has no significance for us whether it came from a web browser or from a mobile device or from any other source that any PNG would do for that matter, right? So our SDKs do hook up into all these different frameworks that allow you to work with different types of applications. So we talked a lot about Selenium, but we have an SDK that works with Appium, and we have an SDK that works with QTP and Perfecto Mobile, so you can actually visual test devices in the cloud. And we have SDKs that works with images, so you can just take images and I don't care where they came from and test them. We have SDKs that work with with coded UI scripts, then you can test desktop Microsoft technology applications with QDP. So basically any type of application, anything that has an image, we can test. And the SDKs cover a wide variety of test frameworks that would even be easier to work with.
Awesome. And it also runs on a Selenium grid. Sometimes there's issues with other tools trying to work on Selenium grid, but it does interact seamlessly with Selenium grid, and you can run it on Sauce Labs and all that. So it's pretty neat.
Yep. So in terms of when we're talking about Selenium, then we need is just the local web driver. So it doesn't really matter. The AI's SDK lives inside your test. It doesn't matter where the browser is actually open, whether it's locally on your machine, in your grid, in Sauce Labs or Browser Stack or any other place. It doesn't matter. We have the web driver, we ask it for screenshots, and that's it. So there's no need for our server to go into your network in any way. There's no need for tunneling or nothing like that.
What is the best way someone can learn more about Appli Tools, and what is the best way they can contact Appli Tools or you about more info?
So basically, the best way would be to just to go and sign up for a free account and just follow these four basic steps. It's very easy, and just try the tool out. And if the tool is very simple to use, there is a resources page on the website that you can use and see frequently asked questions and a forum and all of that. And if there is anything that needs to be answered, then support@applitools.com is the place to go. Just send an email and we'll get back to you shortly.
Thank you, Adam, for your visual validation, testing automation awesomeness. For links to everything of value that we talked about in this episode, head on over to testtalks.com/43. And while you're there, make sure to click on the More Info link under the exclusive sponsor section to learn more about our awesome sponsor, Sauce Labs. Also, I would really love it if you had a second to leave a review in iTunes. Reviews go a long way in terms of exposure and helping people come along and see that this show has value. And honestly, it helps me stay motivated and makes the show even better by your comments on what I can improve or ideas that I can do for future episodes. So any review that you leave or comment, I would greatly appreciate it. So that's it for this episode of Test Talks. I'm Joe, and my mission is to help you succeed with automation awesomeness. As always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.